This morning, my assignment is taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 9, beginning with the first verse. If any of you have your Bibles with you, it's 2 Chronicles chapter 9, beginning with the first verse. And I want to just speak to you briefly on the subject, imitate this. Imitate this. When the Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame, she came to Jerusalem to test him with hard questions, arriving with a very great caravan with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones. She came to Solomon and talked with him about all she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for him to explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba saw the wisdom of Solomon, as well as the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, the cupbearers in their robes, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe what they said until I came and saw it with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half the greatness of your wisdom was told me. You have far exceeded the report I heard. How happy your people must be, how happy your officials who continually stand before you, who hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on his throne as king to rule for the Lord your God." May God add a blessing to the hearing and the doing of his holy word. Please pray with me. Almighty and holy God, we come before you once again in humility and covered with grace. We thank you for our young people, especially those that are graduating this week from eighth grade. We lift up all of our children and all of the students across the country and the children of the world because they all belong to you. Give us wisdom, give us discernment so that we can be better parents than we already are. Help us to be better grandparents. Help us to be better adults in their lives by word and by example. Fill us with your spirit so that we can accomplish this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a great day of passage from not just a grade, but from a school and to a new stage of life. As you begin high school and for the rest of your life, you will encounter many interesting and colorful people. Some will be pretty, and others not so much. Some you will enjoy their company, and others you will want to only spend a little bit of time. And you all will discover that there are certain characteristics that you admire in some folks along the way. There'll be some positive things about people that you will want to copy and imitate. It's an old saying that imitation is the greatest form of flattery. Children imitate because they're learning to be more independent. Toddlers try to walk, talk, and use the same mannerisms as adults around them. As children become adolescents, kids desire to be like everybody else in school in order to fit in. Can I get a, that's right, Pastor? All students want to be liked and accepted. Teens rather conspicuously copy the fashion, the dialect, and the values of their generation. Young folks listen to the same music, watch the same movies, and have the same apps on their phones as their circle of friends. Do you old folks, do you all remember the peer pressure? Mm-hmm. Come on. There's a lot that they have to go through. One of the great things about being old is that you no longer care so much about keeping up with the Joneses or being popular with your peers. It seems that some maturity and wisdom are gained by the longevity of living. I'm just talking about myself. You don't have to consider yourself old. You may need to look in the mirror, though. Okay. But to be sure, you will always find a few seniors that don't act their age. Like that woman in her mid-80s wearing a miniskirt. Or a man 75 years old becoming a father. Please. Hopefully, most of us who are older have learned now to be content with what God has given us, no longer striving to be like somebody else. However, those of us that are still before retirement, imitation did not end with the teen years. We adults copy other folks too. Now, our motivation may not necessarily be to be popular. Perhaps we imitate him because of what he's achieved. We emulate her so we can get what she's got. If you want a successful marriage, you don't follow somebody who's been through several divorces. If you desire to make lots of money, you don't duplicate the investments of a pauper. If you want to be happy and find contentment in life, you don't imitate somebody who's always miserable. In our scripture text, we are not told what the Queen of Sheba's motivation was in coming to see King Solomon. We do know that the Queen of Sheba had heard rumors about Solomon. Maybe it was his wealth, the prestige of the nation he led, or maybe his renowned wisdom as the answer man. You see, the stories of Solomon's uniqueness spread across the ocean and reached the inner chamber of the most prominent royalty of the African continent, the Queen of Sheba. She wanted to meet Solomon face to face and find out for herself what made Solomon so special. The Queen of Sheba was curious about this man, Solomon. Let me ask you this morning, is anybody curious about you? Do people want to know what makes you tick? Do folks wonder how your life works? Are there some of you that no one is curious about? Have folks already figured you out? You seem to live just like they live. You approach life just like they do, trying to be in control. They see that you're not able to roll with the punches. Do folks notice that you eat a plate full of worry and self-absorption just like they do? Are you really any different than those who don't know Christ? Yes, you're a person of faith, but you seem to be the same as me. It's just I don't go to church. Do people say, I'm not curious about you because you're just like us? The Queen of Sheba was very curious about Solomon, so she went to see him. When she arrived, she discovered that everything that she heard was true and more. The Queen of Sheba had met her match. Solomon had everything that she had. He was royalty, she was royalty. He had an army, she had an army. Solomon's had servants to wait on him. The Queen of Sheba had servants to wait on her. Solomon made decisions that affected people's lives, and the Queen of Sheba made decisions that affected people's lives. Do you know what it's like, fellas, when you met your match? I just want to talk to the men right now. Have any of you ever met your match? For some of you, it's that one that got away. She was more than your equal. She was out of your league, but you went after her anyway. She put you down, but you didn't care. You still pursued her. I'm talking about the one that makes you sweat the color out of your socks. The woman that stopped you in your tracks and puts a hitch in your get-along. The one that could make a blind man talk about seeing again. I'm talking about that woman in your life. Where are my brothers? Come on now. You were never the same after meeting her. I remember that woman very well. I couldn't conquer her heart. She made me chase and beg for her affections. I remember her well. It's easy because I see her every day. By the grace of God, Wanda married down. Now, the Queen of Sheba, you must understand, was a beautiful ebony skin tone lady. She was special in her own right. So what made Solomon any different than any other successful man? Well, the Queen of Sheba came all the way from Africa to Jerusalem to find out. Solomon answered all of her questions. She saw his wisdom, the palace that he built, the food that he served on his table, the aroma, the taste. Why, even the ones who were serving the meal were adorned in silky fashion. But what caught the Queen of Sheba's eye, what capped it all off, what got her undivided attention was Solomon made burnt offerings in the temple. Solomon, the king, in all of his greatness, humbled himself and worshiped the Lord his God. In other words, the Queen of Sheba saw Solomon in church. Oh, you don't hear me this morning. King Solomon didn't order his servants to make the sacrificial offering on the altar, as other royalty did. King Solomon didn't tweet his praise of God. King Solomon didn't change the worship service to put himself at the center of it. Solomon went to the temple and performed the burnt offering himself. Don't you see that amidst all his success, all his achievements, and his acquired wisdom, Solomon recognized that everything that he had, everything that he achieved, everything that he was, God was responsible. So Solomon took the time to worship God. What about you all? You're here today, but what about the Sundays in the future? Do you understand who woke you up this morning? Do you get it that the Lord made it possible for you to be here in this sanctuary? Wasn't it Christ Jesus that enabled you to make plans and to fulfill your dreams? Now you must understand that Solomon wasn't doing this worship of God thing to impress the Queen of Sheba. It was his main routine. It was the center of his daily activity. It was the foundation of Solomon's life to worship God. What about you? See, there's no more COVID-related excuses. We're all in in-person worship here. And if we run out of space in the sanctuary, we can accommodate you in the overflow in the social hall. Let's get back to the scripture. It tells us that Queen of Sheba began to imitate Solomon. Verse 8, that last verse that I read, she said, it says that she praised the Lord. Did you get that? She praised the Lord. Now, praise is a major part of worship. It meant that she recognized that her life needed to be centered on Solomon's God. So the Queen of Sheba surrendered to the Lord, just like Solomon. Do other folks see your steadiness of faith, even in a crisis? Does anybody notice a godly contentment in you? Do folks stop and wonder what you're smoking or what's in your cup? You tell them, it's the Lord that keeps me balanced and joyful. If people are curious about you and they want to be around you and see if they can glean something to add to their own life, that's good. The next time someone inquires about you, simply say, let me end your personal curiosity. I have a personal relationship with God. He's closer to me than a father, mother, sister, or brother. He forgives all my mistakes. He's my rock in a weary land. He's my shelter in a storm. He walks with me and talks with me and tells me that I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You want to know about me? You need to know about my Jesus. Our children and our young people aren't the only ones watching us. Those outside of Christ Lutheran are watching too. the people that you work with, the folks you see in a store and everywhere out in the community. People want to know how to improve their lives, reconcile relationships, and discover life's meaning and purpose. God wants to use you to make folks who don't know Jesus curious. And when your family members see you worshiping the Lord, not just at church, but as a part of your daily routine, they'll want to come running to our church. When coworkers observe that the Lord is guiding you with His wisdom, they'll come running. When people see and hear how God is blessing you, folks will come running. When they witness you praying and having the confidence that the Lord answered your prayer, they will come running. When your neighbors see the joy that God has put in you, they will come running. When your friends hear how reading the Bible gives you strength and insight for living, they will come running. When folks see your kindness and willingness to help those in need, they'll come running to our church. You know why? So they can imitate this. Amen.